There's one announcement that's very important, and that is there's a children's class right at this time, the 8 to 12-year-olds. 8 to 12, there's a class right now. Our subject is injuries. And if I had to ask each of you, have you ever been injured? I would safely say that every one of us in this room have been injured. But then the question is, do you know what the healing is of injuries? That sounds like a very important subject. And our brother Tim Krupa is going to take us through that. The healing of injuries.
Good morning. It's been very nice to be with you. I have enjoyed your fellowship. We looked forward to coming here, and we've greatly enjoyed the hospitality that we've received, not only here at the convention, but also at the home of Larry and Joyce Young. If you walk the narrow way, you're going to get injured along the way. Satan is out there. He's out there cutting and slashing, and he would love to deliver to you that spiritual death blow. We take hits. We get injured. Now, some days it's just a glancing blow. Sometimes it's just a little scratch. But other times, the injury can hobble us for months. Sometimes it's disabling. And once in a while, we see something that we might call a permanent injury. As a matter of fact, if you're not getting attacked, if you're not receiving some injuries, you might even wonder if you're on the narrow way. Let me paraphrase two scriptures from the New International Translation. 1 Peter 5:8. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to injure. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No injury has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you get injured beyond what you can bear. But when you are injured, He will also provide a way of healing so that you can stand up under it. The Old Testament was filled with incidents of injuries. Cain and Abel, Hagar, Sarah, Joseph, his brethren, David and Saul. They were lives of conflict, lives of injury. And you might think that the begettal of the Holy Spirit, commencing with Pentecost, might change all that. You might think that with the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, the injuries would stop. Not so. This way of life continued. Paul and Barnabas injured each other. Acts 15:39, they had such a disagreement that they parted company for many years. In Philippians 4:2, there are two sisters named there that sounds like their disagreement, they must have injured each other. And I think there must have been a host of injuries in Corinth because that class had so many contentions. There must have been multiple injuries. Even Peter and Paul may have injured each other in Galatians 2:11. And it's hard to forget Alexander, who injured Paul so many, many times. We're talking about injuries of the spirit. We're not just talking about hurt feelings. We're talking about injuries that affect your spiritual life, injuries that disable your sacrifice. We're talking about incidents in your life that get you off the track for a period of time. How do we survive insults from the brethren? How do we survive hurts in our business meetings, in our separations? How do we survive false reports, slander, having your good evilly spoken of? How do you survive not being elected or not being selected, not being used? Sure, some of these things are just little scratches, little bruises. And especially if it's not you. Oh, it's just a little scratch. But even small injuries, if they're repeated over and over again, can result in a disabling condition. I came across some interesting aspects about physical healing that I thought had an application to the spiritual life. We're not really talking about reconciliation, the reconciliation between two parties. That's another subject. The healing process is a one-person process. I'm just talking about you and me in my injuries, in your injuries. Now, if you've never been injured, then the topic will be of little interest to you. Mark 2:17, the Lord said, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick." If you have been injured, I hope that there will be a few thoughts that you find as an encouragement. On the physical body level, there are two major problems regarding healing. And they are inflammation and scar tissue. Talking about the physical body, physical injuries. First, let me roughly define inflammation. Inflammation is a chemical process which is a result of being hurt. Let's say that you get stabbed with a nail. A rusty old nail gets you in the arm. The first thing the body does in responding to that injury is to secrete chemicals and send them to that area. That's called inflammation. They send the appropriate chemicals to that area to start the healing process. Now, in most cases, the juices that arrive there do their job and the process is self-limiting. But in many, many cases, and it seems so in more cases, the inflammatory process gets out of control. And it continues and it continues and it continues well beyond what is necessary. And what needs to be treated almost more than the injury is the inflammation. I see this overreaction of the inflammatory process in a spiritual sense, perhaps as the concept of bitterness. Bitterness is a chemical reaction on the spirit level to an injury that continues, continues, continues. Inflammation is a little bit almost like a vinegar that arrives to the site of injury. Bitterness is like a vinegar. It's sour. It goes on. It sometimes gets out of control. The second problem in physical injuries is scar tissue. Now, a little bit of scar tissue is necessary because the tissues that are broken, torn, destroyed need to be put back together with scar tissue. And scar tissue is a result of the inflammatory chemicals that come. But again, if the inflammation continues, if the problem continues, scar tissue builds and builds and builds. And soon that what used to be a smooth muscle now is engrossed with scar tissue and it loses its function. Let's take a look first at bitterness. Again, it was an Old Testament problem. Bitterness, we see in 2 Samuel 2:26, where it started with David and Saul. They were bitter as people. And we heard this yesterday in the mini talks, where a problem started between two people and then got bigger and bigger. And this one literally ended up in a war, the war between the followers of David and the war between the followers of Saul. 2 Samuel 2:26, then Abner, who was Saul's general, called to Joab, who was David's general, and said, "Shall the sword devour forever? Knowest thou not that it will be bitterness in the latter end? How long shall it be then, ere thou bid the people return from following their brethren?" So bitterness is a sad state of affairs. In the New Testament, the word means sharp, biting, tart, caustic. It must have been a problem because Paul said to the Ephesians in the 4th chapter in the 31st verse, "Get rid of your bitterness." And Hebrews 12:15 is that well-known scripture that talks about the root of bitterness growing. So it must be a condition that starts small, Hebrews 12:15, and grows and grows and grows. Paul says, "See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up." Signs of bitterness are anger, pettiness. Now, pettiness is overreacting to very small things, overreacting to minor things, slight, trivial things. It's being intolerant. These are the signs of bitterness. There's a negative reaction, always present. Sometimes it results in sarcastic remarks, in hostility, in resentfulness. It's quite manifest in two ways, by our faces and by our bodies. A bitter person has a body language. You can just see their bitterness. It's etched on the face. Acts 8:23, "For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness." Paul could see it, and in the bond of iniquity. Now the second problem, the scar tissue. Scar tissue is like a glue. Almost it's like a super glue that puts your tissues back together. But if you get too much glue, it stops your functioning. Scar tissue is tough, and scar tissue is without feeling. Matthew 13:15, "For this people's heart," Jesus was speaking about many in the crowds there, "has become calloused." A callous is scar tissue. "They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes, otherwise they might see and hear and understand." There's a word for this. There's several words for this in the New Testament. Strong's 46:42 is scleros. Scleros, as in multiple sclerosis, hardening. The Greek word means hard or tough, or another, the noun part of the word means callousness or stubbornness. Romans 2:5, "Because of your stubbornness," sclerosis, "and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God." There's different kinds of scar tissue mentioned in the scriptures. It can happen to your heart. The scriptures say that the sclerosis can happen to your heart. Here's the Greek word, sclerocardia. You know what it means. Cardia, heart. Scleros, heart. Hardening of the heart. It can happen to your neck. Sclerotracheos. Trachea, neck. Scleros, hard. These are all scriptural words. Acts 7:51. You stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears. You are just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. The Jews were stiff-necked historically, and now stiff-neckedness is a choice. You can choose to be stiff-necked, stubborn, or you can choose to be flexible. Sometimes the Greek word is translated obstinate. Acts 19:9. Some of them became obstinate. Hebrews 3:8. The clerocardia. Do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. A third kind of scar tissue that develops is another Greek word that you're familiar with, and it's scoliosis. Scoliosis. When there's a scar tissue develops in the spine can become warped and twisted. Acts 2:40. With many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, save yourself from this twisted generation. Philippians 2:15, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked, scoliosis, depraved generation. Those are the problems. Hardness of the heart, stiff-neckedness, scoliosis, scar tissue, inflammation, bitterness. Let's talk a little bit now about healing. The Greek word for healing is another word you know. I'm going to pronounce it like we would in English so it's more easily recognizable. Therapeuo. It sounds just like therapy. That's the Greek word for healing. Among the definitions, it means to relieve of disease. One of the great joys of Jesus' ministry was his healing. Yes, it only lasted while he was there. But what a joy it was for him to relieve the pain and suffering as a foregleaming of the kingdom work. Luke 9:11. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Isn't it interesting that he just didn't talk to them about the kingdom? That he actually did healing? Acts 10:38, I think, is very interesting, and it shows you the source of the pain and the injuries. And Peter is recounting what Jesus did. He said, Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. So in today's medical world, they do a lot to treat injuries. They treat inflammation, and there are treatments for scar tissue. And again, I think we can make some spiritual analogies. So I'm going to suggest 7 major ideas for dealing with injuries. Number 1, this is so simple, you may laugh. Stop the re-injury. The first thing the doctor tells you if you've sprained an ankle is what? Stay off the ankle. It sounds very simplistic, but you know, when some people hurt themselves, they insist on doing what they were doing before. It's a mistake. I can remember in high school, there were some injured players, and they thought that the therapy at that time was to work it out. And this one boy had a sprained ankle, and they had him run laps for weeks. It never healed. Not only do you have to stop the re-injury, you must stop the pain. If you still get the painful reaction. It triggers the inflammation. Every time there is an impulse of pain, it sends more juices. So you'll notice that when doctors treat your injury, they will give you an anti-inflammatory and they'll give you something for the pain. They're trying to break that cycle of sending the inflammation. In a spiritual sense, I'm suggesting that if you are being injured by something, you must avoid it for a period of time. Now, listen carefully, because someone may leap to the conclusion that, I'm being injured by the meetings, therefore I will not go to the meetings. So listen carefully how I weave this trail of logic. Matthew 10:14 talks about avoiding injuries. Matthew 10:14, if anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, does it say, stay there and keep arguing with them? No. My translation says, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. The same concept is in Mark 6:11, Luke 9:5, Luke 10:11, and Acts 13:51. I don't think there's any virtue in continually putting yourself in a situation where you're going to get battered. That's contrary to these scriptures. Acts 19:9, when Paul was opposed by this group, he left. He didn't leave the body of Christ, but he left this group that was antagonistic to him and who was injuring him. So let's say the injury is in your class. If they continue to injure you, I think you need to back off for a while. But in most cases, the injury is coming from perhaps an individual or two, and I'm suggesting there are others in the class that you can focus your time on until you're healed. You can back off, but don't leave the way. And Matthew 5:39 says, do not fight an evil person. Some other things to avoiding injury, some other ideas within this first category, is the idea of distraction. You might be able to distract yourself by focusing on, first of all, other people or other activities. You know, if Jesus had spent all this time in face-to-face debate with the Pharisees, he'd had a pretty miserable life. He didn't do that. He frequently went off up north to Galilee, got away from them. He frequently spent time with children as a peaceful escape from the antagonism of the people who were out to get him. Another concept in dealing with the re-injury is to increase your pain threshold. Now, one of the things that lowers your pain threshold is exhaustion. If you're tired, you are going to be much more susceptible and sensitive to the ecclesia arrangement. And you're going to get offended by everything if you're exhausted. You need to be rested to spiritually survive. Even if you exhaust yourself with spiritual activities, you're probably lowering your pain threshold. Another concept of the pain control is that you can desensitize yourself through mind control. This is called biofeedback, where in cases of chronic pain, they have ways of hooking you up with little electrodes and showing you on a needle how you're reacting, and you can gradually calm your body down. We can do the same thing spiritually by trying to understand the situation. The person that's causing you the pain, you mentally try to understand that person's problem, that person's upbringing, what they have to deal with. Why are they doing this to you? It's a very intellectual approach, and it doesn't help the emotional injuries, but it helps part of the problem. And humor also helps to desensitize the situation. So if you don't take yourself quite so seriously, you might not get injured quite as much. And within this same category, also time will help. Time is a great healer. And on a physical sense, muscles usually heal in about 3 weeks. If you tear a muscle, you have a strain, 3 weeks it'll be healed. If you break a bone, it's going to be 3 months. So if I can just make a suggestion, if you have a minor injury in the ecclesia, in your relationship with one of the body, if it's minor, give yourself 3 weeks to heal. Don't expect it to be better the next day. Give yourself 3 weeks. If it's a major event, like a fracture, and somebody has really tried to destroy you, oh, give yourself 3 months to heal, to get over that, before you're going to be able to resume what you were doing before. Second major area in dealing with injuries is we must deal with the inflammation. Now, what will they do in the medical world today? They will prescribe for you anti-inflammatories. There are some very effective medicines that do not have a lot of side effects, and they'll give you this strong medicine, and it takes care of the inflammation. I would suggest that the scriptural inputs that relate directly to your problem, they're the strong medicine we need. They're strong, direct medicine, like scriptures about bitterness. Proverbs 14:10 says, each heart knows its own bitterness. You know things about yourself and about maybe why you got injured that nobody else knows. You can pretend that, I don't know why they did that to me. But down deep in your heart, you know why they did it to you. That's strong medicine. Go right to the scriptures or read articles directly on your problem. You know if you're jealous. Read an article about jealousy. That's strong medicine. Second thing that helps in the inflammation process is to increase circulation. A physical therapist will tell you to use alternating hot and cold packs. Get the blood flowing. In a Bible student sense, that can only mean one thing. Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. If you're in an inflammatory state in the Bible students, then get active. Get the blood moving. The last thing you do is sit down. There are some natural anti-inflammatories. One of the best natural anti-inflammatories is vitamin C. Vitamin C is probably best found in fruit. Now, the scriptures speak of milk. The scriptures speak of meat. They don't exactly speak of fruit. But I see fruit as a lighter food. It's kind of a sweet food. It has a lot of sugar to it. Maybe when the scriptures talk about honey, they're talking about fruit. So I see fruit, in this sense, as a good source of vitamin C. The lighter topics in the Bible student nutrition. I'm talking about things where you read them, they're scriptural, but you don't have to struggle with every word as to what it means. You're just reading it and you're enjoying it. That's fruit. That's vitamin C. That's anti-inflammatory. Whether it's a psalm or the Proverbs. And music is anti-inflammatory. That's a good source of spiritual vitamin C. 1 Samuel 16:23. David would take his harp and play. Then relief would come to Saul. He would feel better, and the evil spirit would leave him. That's anti-inflammatory. Music, tapes, they have them for sale on the back, on the book table. All these sweet words of the scriptures, the psalms, the hymns, it's great for calming down that inflammatory process. Number three, getting rid of the scar tissue. There are ways that therapists can work on your scar tissue. There's a new technique that's called cross fiber massage. What it is if the fibers of your muscle are running one way and there's scar tissue in the muscle, the therapist rubs you across the muscle. Is it a little painful? Yes. It's rubbing you cross-grain. But you know what it does on the muscle level? It actually causes the fibers to realign, and it takes away the scar tissue, and your muscle becomes supple again and not shortened. I think that in a spiritual sense, this would be challenging your prejudices, challenging your fixed ideas, rubbing our thoughts at cross fibers. You know, we are a big set of prejudices. I mean, we've gotten ideas, and boy, do we stick to them. Somebody once said, we don't discuss anything, we just rearrange our prejudices. So it might be helpful to rub some of your prejudices the wrong way, to listen to some other thoughts, even if they do go against your grain. And it's less painful if you treat yourself than if you have some therapist dig in, because you can say, ouch, 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 and they just keep going, you know. So treat yourself, cross-fiber massage. Number four is increase the range of motion. And this is a little bit like the preceding one. Anytime you've injured something, the therapist is going to try to get you to get a greater range of motion. There's an old story about the man that went to the doctor, and he complained. He says, Doc, I cannot raise my arm any more than this since I hurt my shoulder. The doctor says, well, how high could you used to be able to raise it? He says, oh, I used to be able to do this. So sometimes spiritually, we say, you know, I was hurt. I can't do that anymore. I can only go this far because I was hurt. It's going to hurt if I go there. Gradually increase that range of motion. Maybe you've done a good service. Let's say you've done something for somebody, a good spiritual service, and you did such a good job that you get attacked by somebody else. That's happened to you. I know it has. So what do you feel like doing? I'm never going to do that again. Isn't that how you feel? Because you've been injured. No. Increase that range of motion. Little by little, do the same thing again. Let's say you've been generous. Let's say you've done something for somebody. And it turns out that the experience is a disaster. What do you say? You say, I'm never going to be generous again. It's a mistake. It's a rehabilitative mistake. Be generous, little bit at a time. Increase that range of motion. Don't try to lift the arm up there. No, increase that range of motion little by little until you're back and you have that full, complete range of motion. Number five in rehabilitation is to restore strength. You must get the strength back into the muscle. You must lift some weights. You must exercise. You must go against some resistance. And I think, again, this is the meat of the word. You must jump into, and you don't, that's not the first thing they have you do is lift weights when you're injured. This is after there's been some healing. And after the range of motion starts to come back, then they put you on lighter weights and they increase. Hebrews 5:14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And the advantage of strengthening yourself again is that the stronger you are, the less susceptible you are to re-injury. You need to regain that old strength. Number six is to restore coordination. One of the things that happens to an arm or a leg after it's been injured and not used for a while is it doesn't have that same old coordination again. And coordination is the communication between the limb and the brain. The brain says, pick up that pencil or that glass of water, and the injured arm has forgotten how to do it. So there needs to be a retraining of coordination. One of the most extreme examples of this is when a person has a stroke. The communication is cut off from the brain to the arm, and they must go through extensive coordination retraining. Now, how do they do this? They go back to the basics. They go back to the most basic movement of the limb. They don't start with little fine details. They go back to basic movements. So I would say, if you've been injured to such an extent that even your coordination with the head, with Jesus, if your coordination is being compromised, then go back to the basics. Get back to just those fundamental joys of the truth. Just study or read things like restitution. Don't get fancy. Go back to the basic movements of your Christian life. The two salvations, spirit begettal. Don't get sidetracked into something really technical and detailed. You'll never get the coordination back. And again, in this case of the rehabilitation for coordination, you need a trained therapist to help you. Now you can say, okay, we'll use our Lord. But I'm even suggesting that you need help from one of your brothers or sisters. There's probably someone you have confidence in that can help you work out some of the thoughts on these basic things. Ask them, what do you think I should do first? The seventh suggestion is to focus on yourself. If you're going to heal, you need to devote the time and energy to yourself. And I'm suggesting that we all have enough injuries that we need to focus on ourselves and not to go around being the therapist for everybody else. Don't think that you have everybody else's solution. Again, Luke 4:23, Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself." The good advice that he gave us in Matthew 7:5 is the one about solving your own problems first. "Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam in your own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote of your brother's eye." Now, the best ones to help others are those who have gone through the same experience, who've had the same kind of pain, who did not become bitter, and who have really no scars, but just added strength from going through their difficult experiences. And it's always best if the injured person comes and asks for help, as opposed to the therapist going and saying, "Can I help you with your problem?" "What problem?" They need to acknowledge that they have the problem and come to you for help. 1 Corinthians 12:28 was talking about the gifts in the church, talks about the apostles, the prophets, the teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others. I think they still exist spiritually, those who are able to help. And we need to, when we have a problem, we need to seek out those that we trust, have good experience, and ask them for help. We all hope to participate in the great healing of the nations. What the kingdom process is all about is that all the injuries of the preceding permission of evil will someday be healed. And there'll be no scar tissue. And they're even going to forget about those old injuries. We need to go through the experiences of pain and suffering so that we can become part of that administrative high priest. And in the old days, the priests were not only the religious leaders, but they were also the therapists for the nation of Israel. One last thought is that healing also occurs as a rate of blood supply. Muscles have good blood supply, so they heal quickly. Bones have a sparse blood supply, they heal slowly. I think our blood supply is the degree of love that we each have. 1 John 3:14, we know we have passed from death unto life because we love our brothers. If you have a vigorous blood supply, your injuries will heal quickly. My prayer for you is not that you live an injury-free life, but that you will recover from your injuries and use them as stepping stones on your way to being part of that great sympathetic high priest in the next age.
Amen. Brother Tim Krupa from Portland, Oregon, on the seven therapies of healing of injuries. Those of you who'd like to get a copy of this, remember there are tapes in the back, and give you a chance to hear that over again. We have.
Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your manifold blessings in our behalf. We are most grateful, dear Father, for the gift of your Son, for the knowledge that we have of knowing your plan, and for the hope of the high calling. We thank you for the privilege of gathering together so peacefully here in convention. We thank you for the hospitality of the brethren in this area. We thank you for the instructions and the fellowship that we have had. And we pray that with the guidance of your Holy Spirit, we might understand your plans and purposes better, and thereby might more vigorously fulfill our vows of consecration. We are mindful of our brethren scattered the world over, especially those in the third world countries, those who do not have the privileges that we have. We ask that you would be with them in a special way. We now ask a blessing upon our noontime meal. We pray that from its strength we might serve you better. We thank you for these things and pray for your continued presence with us. In the Master's name, amen.